Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 96. For those who come in after Sunday school, our pastor's in Danville preaching for the folks down there this morning. And I know they've been looking forward to see him because they ask about him and Janet every time we're down there. So they'll look forward to a time to visit and worship together. Psalm 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord, he made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. He cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. All right. You grab your bulletins, and let's stand together as we sing the call to worship.
Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? Savior died, and by his blood brought rebel sinners home to God. He died to set the captives free. Then why my soul, why not for me? Christ Jesus came the poor to bless, to clothe them with his righteousness. The robe is spotless, full and free. Then why my soul, why not for me? Eternal life by Christ is given, and ruined sinners raised to heaven. Then sing of grace so rich and free, and say, my soul, why not for thee?
Turn to 223.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake Shake off thy guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for all his race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die, nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God, and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry, and Father, Abba, Father, cry.
267.
All things work out for good, we know, such is God's great design. He orders all our steps below for purposes divine, for purposes divine. This is the faith that keeps me still, no matter what the test, and lets me glory in his will, for well I know 'tis best, for well I know 'tis best. So now the future holds no fear, God guards the work begun, and mortals are immortal here until their work is done, until their work is done. Someday the path he chose for me will all be understood. In heaven's clearer light I'll see all things worked out for good, all things worked out for good.
Open your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So, here our scripture reading. We're willing, this will serve as our text this morning. We'll read the first 15 verses. To everything, there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. Time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. We'll end our reading there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Thank you for this privilege to gather together. And Lord, we pray you'd give us a heart to worship thee this morning. Lord, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world and let us see more of our Savior. Let us see the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you for our Savior. Lord, how we thank you for your mercies to us in him. How we thank you for this gospel. Lord, bless us to hear it, to rejoice in it, and Lord, to rest in our Savior, to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these young ones, or these many young ones you blessed us with. And Lord, we pray your hand be upon them, that you would protect and keep them in this world. Lord, above all things, that you'd be merciful to them. That in your time, Lord, you'd reveal unto them the Savior. Lord, cause us to look to him, to rest in him in all things. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of difficulty and trouble, Lord, be with your people. Lord, keep them. Lord, cause us to, Lord, not look to this flesh as we're so prone to do, but Lord, to look to and to rest in thee and thee alone. Again, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for, again, Christ our Savior. Lord, bless us with a spirit of worship here this morning. Cause our hearts to rejoice in thee. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing, and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being a river with no end. There is a river that flows from deep within. Christ is the fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Christ is the river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry.
Sitting there listening, and I wish that it just kept singing. Not sure how long it's been since I've heard that song, but it's however long it's been too. It's been too long. Thank you. Thank you. Turn back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3. Title of the message this morning is A Time and a Purpose. A Time and a Purpose. Over the years, I believe I can say this passage of Scripture is one that, at least in our living room, we've turned to on more than on one occasion to seek comfort. To seek peace. And so thankful for it. David said over in Psalm 119:50, he said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath comforted me. We find a lot of places to go to for comfort. But true comfort is found in God's word. And I believe it's found here. You have Ecclesiastes 3. Look at verse 1. Here we read, to everything, there is a season and a time and a purpose under heaven. Now, I would say most, if not everyone in this room, is familiar with these times written here. I think there's 28 of them. Verse 2, it says there's a time to be born. As a side note, I'd say rarely is this on the day when the doctor projects it, right? God knows the time. I think with both the boys, that you wait and wait and wait for that day, and it's never. It's usually 2 weeks later or something like that. There is a time. There's a time when, back there in the Old Testament, there was a time when Isaac would be born. God made a covenant. And he made this covenant with Abraham. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And time passed by. Weeks, months, years passed by. And Abraham grew impatient. God promised him. Abraham ended up taking that into his own hands, didn't he? Trying to. And he took his handmaid Hagar, who bore a son, Ishmael. But that wasn't the promised seed. The nation of Israel is not going to come through Ishmael. No, it's going to be Isaac. And in time, Isaac was born. Not necessarily on Abraham's schedule. He said, shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old? Well, if God said there's going to be one, there's no doubt about that, is there? Almighty God determined there would be. There's a time to be born. There was a time when our Savior was born. In Galatians 4, verse 4, we read, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons. There's a time to be born. What about in Moses' day? When they're taking all the male children and they're casting them into the river. Who's going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Think about all the Moses, there he is, hid in the bushes. Pharaoh's daughter's going to raise him in her own house. There's a time to be born. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2. Time to be born, and we read there is a time to die. The scriptures say 70 and 70. Whatever that number is to each of us, it's a set time. It's an established time. The number of our days. In Psalm 90, verse 10, David wrote, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason they be 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, and we fly away. The scriptures declare it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Paul wrote this. He said, death, there's a reason for that. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Job knew there was a time to die. He said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. A time to die. Let's read on in our text, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time when by man's wicked heart and desire these things are done. Back there after the fall, Cain slew his brother Abel. He killed him. Why? Angry. He was angry that God had respect unto Abel's offering. David killed a man. David killed Uriah. He told his servants, he said, You put him in the hottest part of the battle and then withdraw from him. Why did he do that? Trying to cover his sin with Bathsheba. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered to Pilate. And Pilate asked the people, he said, will you that I release unto you the one you call the King of the Jews? Or will it be Barabbas? Barabbas, a murderer, a traitor. Well, that seems like a pretty easy choice, doesn't it? We read that the chief priests moved the people. They roused them. They got them all stirred up. And they moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas. And Pilate said, what will you then that I should do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. Kill him. Destroy him. And do it in such a way that it's going to cause the most pain. There's man's free will on display. There's what we're left to ourselves. That's what we'll choose. We'll choose Barabbas. We'll choose a traitor, a murderer. Well, what's going on here? How can that happen? How can the Lord Jesus Christ be put to death? Man that went about doing good, healing the sick. Paul said this, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. A time to kill. And all these things mentioned in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time determined for these things. Ordered of God. And for us, there's a time for it. You still have Ecclesiastes 3, verse 3, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You know, there's laughing and dancing. We enjoy that, don't we? Don't we enjoy those times of happiness and peace? But there's also times, the Scriptures say this, a time to weep and a time to mourn. You know, I don't know if there's sometimes shame associated with that. I think amongst believers, sometimes we feel if we mourn or if we grieve, that people might think ill of us or ill of our Lord, that we're finding fault with God's providence. I think we feel that way. I feel that way sometimes. I can't speak for you, but at times I think, well, I shouldn't be upset about this. I shouldn't be grieving this. I should be thankful. You know, when Jacob died, we read the Egyptians, they mourned for 70 days. 70 days. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We read many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We read this, if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. If you be without chastisement, as we're all partakers. And many, I know many in this congregation, right now, and many we know, many we love, have experienced these times, or experienced them right now. Those times, the Apostle Paul, over there in Acts 27, he was on that voyage to Rome. And he said this, he said there was a time when all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul, the Apostle Paul said that. He said there was a time when all hope. But then he said this. He wasn't left there, was he? He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would never speak of anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, of whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. Fear not, Paul. You're going to be taken. You're going to be taken to Rome. You've got to be taken to Rome. You and everyone sailing with you. And Paul said this, be of good cheer. He said, I believe God. It's going to be just as he said it's going to be. Even as it was told me. God's word says again this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But listen to the rest of this verse. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Whatever it is, he puts before his people, I'll deliver. Now go back to verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3. To everything, there is a season and a time. You go back this afternoon and you can read all those. Everything. There's a season and a time. But listen to the rest of the verse. Everything, there's a season and time to every purpose. Every purpose. Every purpose under the heavens. The things that happen that bring us joy and pain, those things that take our breath and keep us awake at night. Spurgeon said this, those times where the head hurts and the body grows weary. Those times Paul was talking, he said there was a time when all hope was lost. Yet there's solid ground. There's solid ground for the child of God, for his sheep. The Lord takes us as he did Moses, and he puts us in that cleft of the rock, and he covers us there with his hand. Oh, Lord, hide me there. Take me to that rock. Hide me there and cover me with your hand. So many things that overwhelm us. We just see the times and the seasons. Most often. Sometimes we don't even see. Most time we don't even see that. My friends, know this. Known unto God are all his works. All his works from the beginning of the world. We may not know what's going on at times, but he does. He orders and he directs them. A time for these things. They're ordered of God. But listen to this. He has a purpose. Almighty God has a purpose in all that he does, and it's his purpose. He's a God of purpose. Romans 8:28. We love that passage, don't we? We forget it so often. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen to a few of these things. We know this. He purposed, concerning his purpose, we know he purposed to save a people. Look at Romans. Turn with me to Romans 9, verse 11. Romans 9, verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. A people chosen of God, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Jacob was an object of God's mercy. And it says here, having done neither good nor evil. Huh? This choice was according to the purpose of Almighty God. And this is the foundation and source of mercy, the sovereign will of Almighty God. He can choose me. He can save me. Or he can pass me by. He's right and just in what he does. Second, a people whom he purposed to save. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Here we read, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A saved people. Saved with an eternal salvation. A called people. A people called by the Spirit of God. A redeemed people, not for any good in the center. Not redeemed for anything any so-called good works. If that were the case, that would give us reason to glory, wouldn't it? No, he saved us by his power. He redeemed us. Now, whom he purposed to save. Those he chose in Christ, those who he gave to his Son to redeem, he didn't leave us in our sin. He didn't pass us by. But he called us to himself, and he makes us, every last son, accepted in the Beloved. And not only does he make us accepted, he keeps us. He keeps us. Third, his purpose is an eternal purpose. This purpose, it's an eternal purpose. Ephesians 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ. He purposed. His purpose. All the salvation of a sinner is according to his own purpose. His eternal purpose. It didn't change. His purpose didn't change in the garden. That's what some would say. He's going to save them by the law, but they couldn't keep the law, so he brought it. No, it's his eternal purpose. purposed in Christ before the world began. His incarnation, Christ was made a man. His suffering, he suffered like no man has ever suffered. His resurrection, all this decreed by Almighty God from before the foundation of the world. We read this, the kings of the earth stood still and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ for a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For what purpose? What were they going to do? To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. It's an eternal purpose. What else do the scriptures say about his purpose? Well, he purposed to put away sin. To put away sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin, he bore the curse of the law. He bore the penalty of sin. And he delivered us from the power of Satan. That's what the scriptures plainly declare. Fifth, his purpose, it reveals his sovereignty. His purpose reveals his sovereignty. Romans 9, verse 17, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. God's sovereignty. God's absolute power in his grace and his mercy, doing what he will to accomplish his purpose. Pharaoh's, think about this, Pharaoh's birth, Pharaoh's power, Pharaoh's conduct were for one purpose. For one purpose. And that was to accomplish his will. Accomplish Almighty God's will. His will concerning Israel, to display his mighty power. The scriptures over, I think it's over in the Psalm, declare that even the wrath of man shall praise him. And then listen, this is my last point. We're made heirs by his purpose. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have an inheritance. That's kind of an exciting thing to think about. To have, if somebody told me I was going to inherit something, I'd be pretty happy about that. But you know, in this earth, we can be told we're going to have an inheritance, and somebody gets mad or something happens, and it just gets swept away, or we find out that it wasn't much of an inheritance to begin with. My friends, this inheritance. This is something to catch your interest. Huh? An inheritance. We're made heirs. One, that what an amazing thing that is. We're made heirs. Typically, you don't have an inheritance unless you're a child. We're made heirs. We're made heirs. And we have an inheritance that the Scripture says fadeth not away. It can't be taken away. It can't be removed. An inheritance that fadeth away. And it's not by chance, but it's by His own choosing. He's made us heirs according to the purpose. What is that inheritance? It's life. Life in His Son. It's not the crystal seas and streets of gold. Huh? We're made heirs. We're made sons to an inheritance that fadeth on eternal life in his Son. According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In times of weeping, in times of laughing, in times of mourning, in times of dancing, times of embracing, those times when we refrain from embracing, in times of love and hate, in all these things. Listen, it's according to His purpose. Huh? His own purpose. He's a God of purpose. Scriptures plainly declare that. And He didn't save you by accident. There's no accidents with God. No. The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And listen, His purpose, we can't even mess that up. Try as we may. No one can alter His purpose. Job said this, he's of one mind. Who can turn Him? Can't change His purpose. What His soul desireth. I can think of a lot of things I'd like to do. I've got a list at home of things that I'd like to do. But listen, what His soul desireth, He doeth. He has the power to do it. Huh? Nebuchadnezzar said this, none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Well, may God be pleased to put away our doubts and our fears and even for just a little bit, just rest in His purpose, knowing this, that He doeth all things well. We used to read at the end of the service, there's this passage here, to the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, the honor, the glory, forever. Amen. All right. Isaac, you come lead us in a closing hymn. Hymn number, if you want to grab your songbook, hymn number 34. Hymn 34, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Let's all stand and sing this together.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, Thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, Thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, Thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life Thou givest, to both great and and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.